Love Osho podcast brings you the real stories of the people whose lives have been inspired and transformed by Osho. We explore why thousands of people are falling in love with Osho and where to find them. Take a deep breath and enjoy the show.
Hello and welcome to the Love Osho podcast. My name is Swaram and I'm the host. Today our guest is Ma Prem Gyana. Gyana took sannyas at the age of 4 and lived as a child in the Osho commune in Germany. Later she attended the Osho school in the UK and had rich experiences in groups and therapy work early in her life. Gyana is trained in holistic counseling, essential counseling, working with people training with Rafia Morgan and Turia Hanover, trauma work and rebalancing body therapy. In 2008, Gyana and her husband Anu founded the Silence of Touch Rebalancing School, which is a state-recognized school for rebalancing body work since 2016. Hi Gyana, welcome to the show. How are you?
Thank you, Swaram. I'm good and I'm happy to be here. Thank you very much.
Fantastic. So I'm so excited to chat with you today and discuss your story with Osho. You have quite an interesting angle because you took sannyas when you were just 4 years old. So let's start from there. Tell us a little bit about how you took sannyas.
Okay. This is a lot of it is, of course, the story that I heard also afterwards from my mom and my parents. Of course, I do remember certain things, but not everything. Apparently, I was quite clear that I didn't want my name, my original legal name, Bonnie, and I kept saying, I want to be called Jana. And my mom took me to the ashram in Hamburg twice for when she did Kundalini. We were living in with 4 or 5 hippies all together, kind of artists in a big flat, and it was a bit chaotic. And she took me to the ashram and we'd been there twice. And then I said to her, I want to take sannyas. And she said no, because she was afraid of the consequences of being an outsider as a kid. And at the time, of course, everything was in red. And so what I did, I went to talk to one of the women we were living with, and she helped me to take photographs. And then I went to Zahira at the desk and asked her for the paperwork. And when I had everything together, I went back to my mom and I said, now you help me write the letter to Bhagwan. And then she said, okay. And so this is what happened. And then when I got and I received the name Gyana, Ma Prem Gyana, and I was really, really happy. And I wore my red clothes and my mala in kindergarten, and I was an outsider, but I didn't care. My mom said it was so clear, and I was so total in it. And that prompted her also to take sannyas. So I was the first one. She hadn't taken sannyas before. No. She had just been there twice herself.
Were your parents friends with sannyasins?
Not really. They were more in the hippie artist scene of Hamburg, but she had gone there only twice herself to the ashram to do a meditation. It was brand new for her as well. And she took me with her. So I was the first one, and I kind of prompted her and initiated the whole thing for her as well to take sannyas then. Yeah.
Well, that's pretty amazing. So have you ever reflected on this, that many people talk about past lives or the kind of inclinations that you have as a child, that it's not very clear how the whole thing works? But clearly for you at such a young age, as a child, you had this instinct and you even knew your name. So how do you make sense of this?
Well, of course you wonder. Ultimately, what I often come to in the end is that the master finds you. Yeah. And children, I saw with my own daughter when she was 4, children have such a clear knowing, and there's such a strong impulse and instinct. And So yeah, that was basically for me, I think it was like, how to say, I feel absolutely blessed, because in a way, how did that really happen? You know, I can see that as kids, you have that connection to something bigger, to the divine, or there is that channel open, you could say. Yeah. And at the same time, I feel like, you know, it was clearly the master somehow who invited me into his realm. Yeah. That's how I feel in the end. But it saved my life in a way, I could say. Yeah. It was a very chaotic childhood outside of that. And I think coming to Osho in that way, I often felt that he was the one who somehow helped me to find trust in life. And he was the one that, yeah, coming into that, it was what actually gave me some sort of holding from the even more chaotic and, surrounding that I was in before. It was a bit, my parents weren't very much present, let's say. Let's put it like that.
Mm. So you took sannyas, and then, as you said, your parents followed, at least your mom. And then what changed in your life?
We moved into the ashram in Hamburg, and it was partly very difficult because we were, as kids, already prompted to do hard work. And I remember ironing in the laundry for hours and hours and learning to fold men's shirts very particularly perfectly well. But at the same time, and of course, I wasn't allowed to be with my mom. I wasn't allowed to sleep with her at the time. Kids were with the kids. So there was also a painful separating from my mom at the time. But it was where I met some of my best friends that I'm still close to today. And it was the beginning of living a communal life that for me has been a big, 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 big part of my life. Yeah. So we lived there for a while, and there were many beautiful beings and people around at that time that I still am very close with today.
Communal life is certainly part of how people around Osho used to live. Osho founded the commune in Pune, then in Oregon, and then again in Pune too. And then everywhere in Europe and in the rest of the world, it was encouraged to fund ashrams, communes. And it wasn't just because of Osho. I think it was also the cultural environment where there was a new experiment of communal living. And there are different opinions. And I've spoken to some of the other kids, sannyasin kids, who grew up in communes, and they have different take on that. You know, some are very positive and some are less positive about their experience. So how was for you to grow up as a child in a commune?
Yeah, of course, in general, because it was such an ultimate experiment, like you said, with Osho, there was also the aspect of it being, without much holding. Yeah, a big part of it was freedom, especially for the kids. We grew up with so much space, and who are you when you have absolutely no boundaries? You don't even know who you can't find yourself in it. Yeah. So in that sense, I think it was difficult for many, and sometimes even traumatizing, because it was so spacious and there was a lostness in it also for kids. I experienced it with a lot of space and a lot of freedom and a lot of experiencing myself in many ways. So that is, of course, part of it. But living in the actual commune, for me, the highlight was Koswan. And Koswan was the Osho school in Devon in England. And I was there for 6 years. And that actually was an incredibly beautiful experience for me personally. We went through different phases, of course, but, you know, it was like 80 kids, 20 adults at the highest, I think, and living together in a communal way, in a very creative and beautiful way. So it was more of being a family, and I learned so much that I still pass on to my kids today. For me, this time was, I can't even begin to say how precious and how beautiful this time was for me. I understand that we didn't get really a lot of, academic things passed on that we need in life to be really successful in the world. Somehow, maybe it lacked some of that. But what I received, on the other hand, is for me far more important and valuable. Yeah. And many of us went on to study afterwards, because you can always continue to study. But what you actually received in that kind of way of living together, being together, going through things in such a way, so much holding and creativity, and really learning about life, relational living. Yeah. So in so many ways, for me, I wouldn't say the best years of my life, but the most valuable years for me. I wouldn't want to miss them for anything.
Okay. So clearly you have a positive outlook overall. Of course, there are, like everything in life, pluses and minuses, but it seems like you are super, super happy that you had that opportunity and that life experience. Would you grow up your children in that same environment?
Yes. If there was a school like Goswan, I would, if my kids would want to go there, I would definitely also send them there. Maybe even be there myself, you know. I mean, of course, it wasn't perfect. And like you said, every experiment has its ups and downs. And because it was such a new way of living, you know, there was also understandably many things that did have an effect that you can call negative or hurtful. But I feel that it's been the most beautiful experience to be part of. And I would send my kids to a school like that if it exists. Yes. It doesn't exist anymore.
Unfortunately, or fortunately, we don't know. But anyway, yeah. It seems like that era is kind of over and there are new things, new ways of experimenting. Perhaps I feel like now we are in a bit of a transition phase where it's not clear, something has gone, but the new has not emerged yet.
Absolutely. So,
what elements in particular of that experience shaped you and shaped the adults you are today?
There's many things. I feel particularly in this time right now, where the world is in such a transformational time, I feel there's so much that we received from Osho, that we learned, so many tools that we got that enable us to be with this liminal space, with this dying, this, you know, it's like a death and then a rebirth, and this letting go and falling into nothing. And there's just so much that we received from Osho, I feel, that really shows now, you know, it really shows what we got and what we already learned, and for me, very precious. There's many things. In particular, I would say learning to live in insecurity, the security of living in insecurity. Yeah. So finding that place of being able to be in the let go, in that non-secure place. Yeah. And who are you in that? Yeah, for me, that's a big one that I feel in this time today is very valuable. Yeah. And he often talked that we would have challenging times like this. He talked about the polarization that is happening right now. And
that's a big one. Obviously, it's very timely. And this COVID situation, this pandemic has a little bit brought that to surface. But we can tend to forget that life is insecure all the time.
Yeah.
So it's a big lesson. And then talking to the sannyasins and seeing what was Osho's life and the life of all the people around him, it was a lot of change all the time. Things were kept moving very quickly, as if he was preparing people to live in those insecurity times.
Absolutely. I feel it was about being able to just be in that movement, be with yourself, let go, not holding on to the attachments, not creating that life that, you know, the world has. I also have my house now and I like it. It's not that, you know, it's not that, but I do feel I've learned to be flexible. I've learned to go with it. And I know who I am, or I have a sense of who I am in all of that. Yeah. And that is, of course, very valuable.
Yes, it's a big, big, big lesson in life. So
yes.
Amazing. So moving to your profession, you are the co-founder with your husband, Anulian, whom I just interviewed last week, of the Silence of Touch School of Rebalancing. And at the same time, you're also a therapist and a counselor. So I'd love to talk about that aspect of your profession. How did you get involved with therapy? How did your passion for therapy start?
Difficult. How did it start? I guess there's, you know, when we look to heal ourselves, and this is really what I feel my exploration with others is also about. It's also walking my own path of healing my own childhood in a way. So there's always been a very curious part of reflecting upon myself that's always been there. The school with Anugyan started when we had our first daughter. And then we decided to create a rebalancing school, and we made that happen. And by now it's a stately recognized school. So we're very professional and we really train for a profession, which is wonderful. But I do feel that is a field that we create where we really are able to share something and create something with the participants and with the assistants who've been with us for a long time that is of Osho. Yeah, it is, of course, other things as well, but I really feel it's like we always create that oasis outside of the world. That what Pune was, what the commune was, where, you know, it's like you can step out of the performance-oriented, fast-running world, you know, and somehow there's a space of connection and no judgment and meeting and just being able to be. And really, people long for that so much. So this is a very precious space that arises in that. So I feel very grateful that we have the capacity to even do this work in this way. Yeah. Then, of course, from there, I started the trauma work, and I've been doing that. And then very initiative was also doing working with Rafia and Turiya and doing working with people training, which was just a way of, for me, coming back to a sense of home and just very, very precious. And ever since then, it's just an unfolding of my work that has then led to working with women, being with, you know, with Turiya, and just because it's somehow also what the time is bringing. And of course, being a woman myself, I'm very interested and curious about that inner exploration.
So I want to go deeper into this focus and passion you have about exploring more the women issues. But I want to pick up on what you just said, this idea of the oasis that Osho places offer and create. Because even in the world of self-development, and even the way meditation is presented today, is all about higher performance. It's about, you know, use that tool to enhance your life, enhance your profession, enhance your qualities, which is great. You know, it's normal. But with Osho, I feel like it's a different quality. You know, as you said, with Osho, it's all about relaxation. It's not about keep pushing, keep improving, and keep, you know, getting things in a certain way. And, you know, manifesting and getting the intention realized in your, you know, getting whatever you want. It's more about just letting go and having this space of non-judgment, acceptance, and just, you know, it's a melting kind of experience. And I just want to pick up on that because I think it's probably the only last resort left, because even when it comes to meditation and personal development, it's all very much driven by this kind of pushing forward rather than just relaxing. Okay, so you mentioned you work with Rafi and Turiya, and we interviewed Turiya in episode 47, wonderful interview for everyone interested, and they co-created the Path of Love, which is a wonderful path for self
process. Yeah.
Process. Yeah. And it's quite deep. They're making a huge difference, and people who go there, they come out completely transformed. So I never miss the opportunity to highlight that. And you mentioned you work with Turiya in particular, and you focus on women issues. So tell me a little bit more about that.
Mm-hmm. Well, when did it start? It started a few years ago, especially with the Me Too movement. Around that time, and then she created a group looking really at, yeah, it was like we were pointing the finger at the time, you know, as a gender towards the men. And her approach was to also that we also do our own work, and that we also clean up our house. And that's where it starts in a way. So from that place, it started rolling, and then a few different groups got created, a lot around the worth, women's worth, which of course is a very valuable issue. And it's more like just creating a space where exploration can happen in that safe environment. Yeah. Again, creating that oasis, that place where there's just an opening to be and to really look and to really see, who am I as a woman? Yeah. Our intention is just to create a space where we support each other, where we come together in a supporting way, and to really look in a, you know, it's a very personal inquiry. What does it mean to be a woman today? What does that mean for me? Yeah. And what does that bring up for me? So we're not actually interested in giving it any more ideas or concepts of what it means to be a woman today, but it's more like just opening it up and being together and really looking, really reflecting and sharing that and supporting each other in that. And of course, looking at the shadow, you know, of what it means to be a woman today, of our ways of manipulating and so on. So we're just, it's like our own personal inquiry, our own personal exploration that we are then somehow just opening up for other women to come in and share. Yeah. And I think it's a very strong time right now where a lot is happening on that level. And, you know, really the patriarchal energies are having to disappear or, you know, somehow are leaving, and there's something else arising, emerging. And what is that, you know? And so staying curious in that. And of course, for me, it's ultimately about creating a new or a different kind of meeting between man and woman also. Yeah. And I think the more we do it, the more we can also compassionately create a collective transformation and a different and a change in that sense, yeah, collectively, yeah, because there is a lot of wounding and there's a lot of pain and there is a lot of unworthiness and there is, you know, a lot that needs also space to heal.
Absolutely. I mean, there is so much talk now about other minority issues and rights, but we forget that ultimately, you know, the problems between men and women is still far from being resolved. And even now with this COVID situation, at least what I read in the news is that the cases of domestic violence have increased.
Yeah.
So, you know, that just shows that it's a long, long way to go before we can talk about gender equality. And in general, not about just the law and the rights, but it's about a better way of men and women to relate into each other and let this love energy flow.
So, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And I think it's very important that we all create a space and an opening for us to come together. And then also the men, you know, I would like to invite the men. I think, it's quite rare that they show up. Not so often in our trainings. It's always the smaller part, but I love it when they do come, and that is beautiful. Yeah, so I want to just welcome the men also.
Absolutely, because it's a work that has to be done in both. Both have to take their responsibilities.
Yes.
Hey, so what did you learn from Osho that helps you in the work, especially with women? Because Osho was a man, but he inspired women to work on themselves and also as therapists helping others.
What did I learn from Osho? My God, there's a lot. And yet, just to say it, I think for me, he was always... compassion was, for me, something I felt around him. I felt somehow, as a child, you know, he had this compassion. And in that compassion, yet there was that love of the truth. There was that absolute, that authentic looking, of course, you know, that fiery, I mean, you were just, oof, it was that totality of really look coming to the core. Yeah. And so it, but yet with this compassion, it made it for me possible. So I guess in a way that's what I ultimately want to create, is a compassionate field of really honestly looking for the truth and looking at the truth. Yeah, and finding the truth and speaking the truth. Yeah, finding a way. So, and yes, he was a man, but I felt that he always, not always, he talks, of course, in both ways. We know him. He always looks at it from different aspects. Yeah. But he also spoke very beautifully about women and understands that whole concept actually very well.
And how do you explain that? Because I spoke to many other women and sannyasins, and they all say that the way Osho understands women psychology is deeper than even many women they can do. So it's quite interesting for a woman to say that.
Absolutely. I think he did. I mean, he understood psychology in that sense very, I think we will take some time, or humanity will take some time, to actually see how well he understood us as human beings, you know. How do I explain that? I don't know. I just, for me, it's like I said, I can only create a certain field of honestly looking, yeah, and that support. I think that's what we need. We need a compassionate support. For me, this is what it's about. It's something that I live every day in my relationship to Anu. And, you know, I'm confronted with my own stuff, my own limitations, my own programming of I am not enough, you know, my own worthiness issue, which is something that women carry collectively, of course, a lot. So it's like, can we create that compassionate field of just coming together and really allowing these feelings and these this pain and this wounding to be there and do the work, even though, you know, we're doing something that is maybe very difficult or, you know, might be not so easy, but can we just come together and really do that bit by bit, you know, those small steps in a supporting way.
Yes. And then, I mean, you mentioned a few times about that the quality you felt in Osho is compassion. And again, this is a quality that normally is associated with the female world. You know, it's women normally are more in the heart and the men are more in the mind. Again, this is very interesting to see, to hear that Osho had this compassion, this quality of a woman, but completely fully developed in a male body.
Yeah, and he had that fire, yeah, at that same time. But yes, for me, it was maybe because of growing up and just hearing his voice, you know, and just going to sleep with his voice or something. It had something so soothing and so true at the same time, you know.
Yeah, so of course he had that very big fire as well. You know, there are even just the picture, sometimes looking at his eyes, it's like this very, very powerful Zen stick that can just, you know,
split you in half. Yeah, and somehow at the same time, he made it possible because there was this holding. Yeah, and I guess that's what I got from him, was a certain holding that I didn't get from my parents before that. So that's where I feel that is that compassion, that holding, that safety. Yeah, he gives me that safety. And then I can look, then I can go in and I can ask and I can inquire and I can confront myself and be true to myself in that safety.
For you as a woman and also as a therapist working with women with female issues, what is the number one quality that women can offer to the world and the number one area where they need to kind of work?
Well, I think one of the main areas where we do need to work is really that sense of worthiness and how that has been so oriented towards the outside. And how can we come back and actually, honor ourselves, love ourselves, value ourselves for who we are. Just, you know, basically not having to be anything that is out there. And I think that is an ongoing challenge and process that is not always easy. And, you know, we meet, the world is so full of given ideas and concepts of what it means to be a woman. And also, So I think that is the challenge of really finding that place in ourselves again. Where can I stay soft? Can I stay loving? Can I honor? Can I appreciate? Can I really be true? Can I speak out and you know, be who I am and show myself in that, expose myself in that? So that's the learning. And I think we need to really support each other and create a supporting network. And what was the first question? That was
the biggest quality of women that they can help the world become a better place if they express it more.
Well, for me, that is compassion, and that is something of space, spaciousness, a certain flexibility, a fluidness coming away from the rigidity, and something of course, sensitivity and allowing and valuing feelings, and a certain, I don't want to say women are femininity or being a woman means to be only sensitive and gentle and blah, 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 you know, but I do feel that the world does need right now something of coming together, a certain softness, a certain fluidness. It's something around flexibility, fluidness, and valuing feelings and what is, that kind of embraciveness of what is. I think that is something that us women can bring into the world.
Wonderful. And I really wish to live my life in a world where there is more of these qualities expressed and more women taking leading positions, but not just for numbers, because the law says that a quota of women have to be there. But then these women, they sometimes behave and think in a male way. And that's sometimes what I see is happening. It's a bit of unfortunate.
I think that's true. And I think that is something we have to watch out for, be careful that we don't, you know, and we do, we have learned to become the better man, because we, you know, in a way have to find ways to survive and to get along in this world. But I think, yes, it's, you know, not about becoming feminists and creating another male dominating energy. Yeah. So it's more like, how can we create and come together in a different way? You know, equal, but honoring each other's differences also. Yeah. Valuing ourselves for, you know, in the differences. Yeah,
absolutely. And that's why it's so beautiful that men and women come together, because they're different. Otherwise it would be so boring if we're all the same, right?
Exactly, it would be so boring.
Okay, so we are heading towards the end. I have three final questions. Before that, is there anything you want to add, or perhaps you may want to talk about the latest projects? Of course, now with COVID, the whole world is a kind of on hold, even though it's an opportunity to work on other aspects that perhaps we didn't have time before. So yeah, is there anything you want to add?
Not really. Maybe just that I think it's a very valuable time right now, just that the whole world has come to a stop, and really time to look, what are we doing here? You know, what are we really doing here? And what are we living, and what do we want to live? What do we want to live? And for me, one big part is coming back to living in a certain unity with the planet, or in a certain harmony with the planet. And I think that is something that, it's going to take a lot of work, you know, a lot of inner work and a lot of awareness to create somehow another way of living harmoniously with us human beings, with the planet. And I think this is a big part of what is happening right now.
I love it. I really like what you just said. And it's a lot of work, but that's what we are here to do. And yeah, we need to find new ways. We have it inside. I see many people, they've come to the same realization. I'm actually quite positive. Before, I used to look at the world and see the mess we are in and just feeling almost a sense of despair. And, you know, we're just going to commit global suicide. But I feel like there are many, many, many intelligent people, talented people, sensitive people. It's just a way of finding the way to channel these good intentions that are there, and I see it every day. So I'm quite positive. And then whatever happens, it's fine, you know?
Yeah, I'm also quite positive. And I think there are a lot of resourceful, beautiful, amazing, creative people out there. And I think a part of it is that we also allow the pain and the grief of what's happening and what we actually have created, feeling that is part of it, yeah. Mm. And giving that space, and that is part of the healing that needs to happen.
Yes. Okay, so let's get into the three final questions. The first one is, what is for you Osho's greatest contribution to the world?
He's given us so much, and I think there's so much to come back to also, to actually pull from. And for me, he's just brought in such a depth of awareness and self-inquiry, and that inner journey, that seeking, that is something that I think happens, and you know, that's beyond you, but there is a certain decision that I am here to break free, or I am here to move beyond something in myself. or discover something in myself, or however you want to call it, as a personal thing. But for me, that is, he's answered something so deep inside of me so early in my life. And that is always there, shining the light for me. And when it gets dark, that's what's still there. So, and I think he's actually managed to provide that light in such a big way in the world. We don't even quite understand yet, I think. I think it'll become more visible later. But I think he's really managed to reach masses of people, a mass of people that, you know, and creating a new awareness and a new space, a new opening, a new dimension for humanity. And I think, happened the last time, maybe 2,000 years ago or something. Yeah.
Yes. Big yes. So the second question is, what is the most beautiful gift you have received from Osho?
The freedom to find myself. I think I'll just leave it at that. I experienced a lot of freedom, and it's been painful, and it's been joyful, and it's been light, and it's been dark, and it's been an exquisite exploration of meeting myself in the divine.
Wonderful. The last question is, you live the Osho experiment since a very early life. What does it mean to you personally to be with Osho today?
I am simply grateful that I'm able to create a little fragrance of what I experienced, and to be able to pass that on through my work, just a little bit of that experience, you know. So for me, that is, I just feel honored and blessed and very, very, very grateful to be able to do the work that I do, and then somehow create a bit of a space where there is, where something else is possible. Like we talked about before, taking a breath, creating a space for being, and creating a sense of connection and a sense of meeting in a different kind of way, where we can let go and just be ourselves for a moment. So, yeah, just gratitude.
And I am very grateful to you, because definitely I can feel this Osho's fragrance. You transmitted that to me in this interview, and I hope with everyone else listening. So thank you so much, Giana. It's been amazing chatting with you, connecting with you. I really feel your heart. Thank you so much.
I want to thank you also. It's been wonderful, and thank you for inviting me here. And it was wonderful to meet you.
Thank you. Lots of love and a big hug.
Big hug too. Much love. Huh? Thank you very much. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thank you for listening. If you enjoyed this episode, please share it and leave a review. Visit loveosho.com for more episodes, blogs, or to connect with us.